All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, May 30th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com or DFSR.com for short. Here to talk a full Tuesday in MLB. But before we get started, we usually don't go retroactive here too much because we focus on the day in front of us rather than the day behind us, unless the day behind us really taught us something. But two pretty interesting on the opposite sides of the spectrum sort of stuff happened with probably the two best players in baseball yesterday. So the first one is Mike Trout is headed to the DL for the first time in his career. And he was on pace for an absolutely historic season. He was like somewhere in the 1,200 OPS range. What were your thoughts? I mean, we usually get too bummed about injuries, but did you feel bummed when you saw him headed to the DL?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's actually crazy. The guy's 25 years old. He just puts up 10 more seasons after 10 more seasons. He's a runaway best player in the majors. And anyone who's any reasonable fan of any sport will be sad when an injury like this happens to one of the premier players, especially because the thumb injury, you know, like I think this actually does have DFS implications when he comes back. A lot of times guys really struggle to get their power back when they hurt their thumbs, you know, gripping the bat. And it has to do with both gripping the bat and generating power and also bat speed. And it's just sad.
Yeah, his first time in the DL in his career, you made a good point. The hand injury, the hand wrist stuff is always just, it takes, even when you come back, it seems to take a lot longer to come back. And look, we don't talk about injuries too much, but this guy was on such a, I mean, the pace that he was putting up this season. I had read an article on FanGraphs that it basically said, you know, he hasn't changed anything about his approach this year, except that he's just swinging at more strikes and turning them into more home runs. So when you do that, like, you're like, you know, I'm just going to make this one slight adjustment to my game. Now those other, like those strikes I was just letting go, those are just going to be home runs and doubles now. So that was the sort of the season he was putting up. It's a huge bummer. Hopefully he's back in a reasonable time frame to keep it up. I always get a little pessimistic about injuries like this, but hopefully he's back. The other one, though, is Harper. So Bryce Harper, as if you haven't seen it yet, charged. I'm laughing already, man, because that video. He charges the mound yesterday.
Oh, when he looked like a complete and utter badass charging the mound. Is
that what he's talking about? I mean, look, if you think throwing punches at someone makes you a badass, then like whatever, we have,
like
have a different discussion.
Complete and utter badass?
Right. But that's a different discussion for a different day about, like, you know, your life trajectory. But
you know me, it's just getting belligerent and throwing punches, but go ahead.
No, definitely. But the real moment was the helmet toss. Like, so he's running, he gets plunked in the rib. I can't even do it. It's so funny. He gets plunked in the rib cage. He takes off. He's got the helmet in his hand. Mm-hmm. Now, my take on this, well, what's your take on the helmet toss? I have a very specific take on it, but I don't know. What was your thought about when you saw the helmet toss?
Well, he looked like your daughter before she found coordination in her arms, and she used to try to throw and just like throw the ball behind her head, and
she
like
still
just
hasn't gotten there, by the way.
Or like the safest possible place you could be would be directly in front of her when she was going to throw something, like when she was mm-hmm. 2 or 3. No, but I've seen her throw now. She can kind of get it. She, you know, within a 180 degree field now. But Harper didn't look like that was exactly the case. It just kind of went square to his body, like he was doing a no look pass.
Well, I thought, okay, so one part of me thought insanely inaccurate. The other part of me feels like he had this moment as he was rearing back. He's like, I'm going to throw this. Well, obviously, he's like, it's just some kind of weird, crazed state. But he rears back to throw that helmet. And right when he gets there, he's like, I think I might actually kill the guy if I hit him with it. You know, like, and
yeah,
so.
It's not a great call to, like, the helmet is harder than the baseball, right? Like, you really probably shouldn't throw that at somebody.
And at the very last second, probably just makes a good choice to just kind of hit it off to the side. Cause, like, it's hard for me to believe that he just did, like, I don't know, like when Ice Cube did the pitchers, like the first pitch out. Like, if you ever seen that video when he throws it and he just like worm burns it from 10 feet over. Like, that's really what it looked like on the helmet toss. I also thought that he probably, if you're going to use the helmet as a prop in a bench clearing brawl, I think the best strategy to do is to do my snowball fight strategy, which is a soft toss lob it to change the eye direction of the opponent. So he's watching the helmet kind of come slowly toward his head as I just run into him. Full speed,
yeah,
not
old
that
school
I would
dodgeball
ever...
technique for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
The funny thing is so funny because like it's always interesting to watch people's reaction to it, especially in the media now, because it used to be people would just be like, oh man, that was a good fight, like that was funny, you know, what a good time. Now they have this, like, they know they have to put a thin layer of indignance over it. So like on ESPN, I was looking at the article on it, and they're like, come on man, grow up. And also, here's a sweet video of everyone getting in a fight.
Right. They don't know how to deal with it. Because like, some people love it.
Yeah. I mean, people love to see, you know, it's like why middle schoolers stand in a circle and chant fight, fight, fight. It's not because they're sad about it. It's because it taps into something primal. I mean, I nothing makes me feel like you're probably a bigger idiot than running and throwing your helmet at someone and trying to fight them. But, you know, I'm not Bryce Harper's target audience, and I'm not buying jerseys anyway. So
the very last thing about this is the other players' reactions, because some people Posey caught heat for sure. He just stood there. He was like, yeah, no way. He just stood behind the plate, made no effort to hold them back, made no effort to do anything, kind of just stood there, watched the fight, and then just kind of... And then Madison Bumgarner, who's hurt, is like, you guys handle this. I'm not going to just go out there and get hurt again, just like throw punches. So it's always funny to watch the other players' reactions. All right, let's get into Tuesday of baseball. So when we start with pitching, and this is really just the theme every time this guy takes the mound this year, and especially today because there's a huge drop off. Chris Sale is going to be, I can't imagine he's anything else but like 80% chalk again. I mean, I'm
he's cheaper than he was the last time we played him, and it's getting embarrassing.
Well, right. So he's 11-7 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 13-4. It's actually it's more of a question there. I still think you can play him. But he's been amazing, and then the price drops on FanDuel. I'm not exactly sure what made the price drop here.
The price drop is the White Sox, right? So the White Sox this year actually have been insanely good against left-handed pitching. They're the best in the league, 362 WOBA, one of the bottom five strikeout teams in the majors. So I actually think there is something of a decision here. So I think that's basically why.
On FanDuel, I don't think there's any decision at all. I really actually don't even think there's
probably
a decision.
Not, but that, I'm saying that's probably why the price is low. Like, I mean, it really is the worst matchup you can have for a left-handed pitching. And it's not a great park either. So I think it definitely puts the old how cheap is too cheap question to the test. Now with Sale, obviously, it's a little different. I mean, we played Kershaw and Coors once this season, right? So going and facing the White Sox in Comerica is not like the Rockies and Coors. So for that reason, I think you just play him. But it's definitely not... It could be easier, I guess, in my mind.
Yeah, well, to that point also, his money line is a little lower than you will see typically for him. He usually is up in that minus 200 plus sort of range. He's only minus 180. That could be the matchup with the White Sox. Also, Quintana, he's really kind of struggled this year, but the Quintana name might keep that money line down a little bit. Still only 3.4 implied runs for the White Sox. The strikeout upside for Sale clearly is higher than anybody else on the slate, and it's not really close. Robbie Ray has some capability too. But he's striking out 12.45 per nine, only walking 1.73, 2.44 xFIP. He's on pace for his best season since he basically hit the majors. This would be his best season if it were to end right now. So I think he's the clear chalk play. I think you see him sort of in that 80% plus range again on FanDuel tonight in terms of ownership. The 13-4 price tag on DraftKings makes it a little closer, but they actually kind of bail you out, and there's no other expensive pitchers really. So you almost have no choice but to go cheaper with your starting pitcher too on DraftKings. So I think for that reason, people will end up talking their way into just one of these other guys and just living with the 13-4 price tag and probably being correct. After him, I think the decisions get a lot closer, especially for that starting pitcher 2 slot, or if you want to think about a fade, which I suppose you can do on FanDuel in tournaments. Where can we look for the starting pitcher 2 in a reasonable price range with, I don't know, some upside and maybe at least a little bit of pedigree?
Yeah, you mentioned Robbie Ray earlier. I think he's an interesting guy to kind of key in on here a little bit. Obviously, with him, I mean, he's got his own issues, but he's basically like a Chris Sale who walks way, way, way more guys.
Right.
Which is to say, he's not like Chris Sale at all, but he still just has plenty of upside. You know, we've played him in select spots this season and been pretty happy with the results. Like I said, the walks have gone up this year and the K's have remained relatively stagnant, but that was almost to be expected. You know, last season looked like an outlier even based on his minor league track record, and I actually take it as more encouraging than discouraging that he's managed to maintain the K rate even at the expense of additional walks. Now, the thing about Ray, while I'd be hesitant to recommend him for cash game purposes, is that the Pirates, I mean, they're kind of a pushover. They actually don't generate a ton of WOBA against left-handed pitchers, but they do walk a ton. They have the second highest walk rate in the majors against left-handed pitching, and that definitely presents some problems here. Basically, it just means that there's going to be games where Ray goes in there and goes 7-8 innings and just crushes the Pirates. But if they just are patient with him and kind of wait him out, I could see one of those games where Ray goes like 5 innings with 8 Ks and gives up 2 runs, which is to say, not a start you'd be super happy with on his prices. So for me, Ray, more of a big tournament upside guy.
He's basically a pick 'em right now. Slight favorite over the Pirates, but with Nova going on the mound opposite, they're both right in them. Kind of just they're basically in a pick 'em range right now. It's an upside play more than a safe play, mostly just because of the walks. The walks are definitely discouraging for him. Our system for DraftKings actually doesn't mind the Nova side of this deal. Now Nova does not strike out anybody, but he generates a lot of ground balls, and the Diamondbacks are not particularly great against right-handed pitching. Don't have a ton of lefty power. I mean, they have Peralta and Lamb, but then there's really nobody else after that that you can really get too worried about. The park, it's a huge park downgrade for them today. It's mostly because of Nova's price, only $6,400. Again, he does not strike out enough guys for you to have real any clear upside on that kind of play, but he is a guy that can get out of innings and go longer into games, mostly because he generates double plays and is able to get out of stuff, like get out of jams more than maybe some other pitcher just because of those ground balls. I don't love it, but the system right on a points per dollar play, it wouldn't make me feel amazing, but I think you can at least consider it. It probably is not the direction I'm going to go. After Ray, we mentioned Sale, obviously. We mentioned Ray. Who else? What are some other arms that stand out to you here?
Yeah, I think Severino just continues to be on my radar just because, you know, you're not going to find too many guys with that 10K per nine and just low 2 walks per 9 upside right now. Like, that's just makes him an elite pitcher. I get that he's getting expensive, and for good reason. He's been both a popular play and a good one, so the price is going up a little bit. But at just 9,200 on FanDuel, I'm actually, and I'm talking mostly on DraftKings in the pitcher 2 slot there, because he's 10-2 there. On FanDuel, though, at 9,200, I can actually see a reasonable case where you might want to run him out there. And I guess not for cash games, because that price on Sale, that's still, like, I don't know, playing mental tricks on me, because it just really is such a bad matchup. It's really making me wrestle with that question of how bad a matchup is too bad a matchup, even at a pretty reasonable price. But the matchup with the Orioles for Severino is great. Bottom 10 team in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching, top 10 team in terms of striking out versus righties. So just a good matchup up and down. Yeah, the Orioles actually are better against right-handed pitching. They just haven't been a very strong offense this season. So I would be okay if I wind up with Severino in some kind of format, definitely for big tournaments and potentially even in cash games, depending on how things break.
Yeah, that second slot on DraftKings is really going to be the big question, because there are problems with just about every guy you mentioned, right? Like, so it's a control issues with Ray. It's the guy doesn't strike anybody out in Nova. Michael Walker is actually
Severino.
Yeah, Severino just a little too expensive for an American League game in a bad pitcher's park. So with a couple guys at the top of that order for the Orioles that can do damage to you. If you can get to the bottom of their order, actually, you can kind of start resting a little easier. But the top four of that lineup, top four or five, we'll say, will give you problems, and you can actually break pretty bad with those guys also. So and for 10-2, you're a little bit worried. And then you get a guy like Michael Wacha, who he's an underdog. He's very cheap on DraftKings. He's been pretty good this year. So the bad news on him right now is he's a slight underdog to the Dodgers. Dodgers are a pretty decent team against righty pitching.
Great. Top five in the league.
Sorry, top five. I was looking at their K rate. They're actually top 10 in K rate against righty. So there is some strikeouts in their bats somewhere, but they're a good hitting team. So you don't love that. Wacha, though, you know, he's been pretty good this year. He's putting up some of his best K numbers of his career, 8.5 per 9. The walks are basically where he's been most of his career. I think this is his best xFIP since 2013, 3.57. He's been very good, right? So good, decent pitcher's park in St. Louis, though. I mean, it's a slight park upgrade for the Dodgers. It's really difficult to think about rostering a guy who's both an underdog against a good team, but the price is that really what's kind of drawing me in here. He's only 6,900. 6,900 for a guy with close to a strikeout per inning K rate is... You're starting to at least, and he's like not a total disaster in terms of control. You're starting to at least entertain the question, I think. I don't think it's a lock it, like you're not going to totally lock it up at all, but I don't know, 6,900 for that K rate. Am I crazy to think that's kind of too far gone in terms of what we want to do for at least a cash game pitcher, or is there a case there?
I think there's a case. I think Wacha is still underpriced based on last season's kind of terrible performance where he was banged up and even came out of the bullpen a little bit. He had the ERA over 5. But the underlying peripherals were kind of still there. And actually this season, yeah, he's tapped into that stuff he showed in the minors, where people always assumed Wacha, with how hard he throws, was going to be a K-per-9 sort of guy. And it hasn't totally panned out that way until now. So I think he's still a little bit too cheap. It's a very similar case to me. He's kind of a poor man's Chris Sale in terms of my decision-making tonight, where all the other factors look phenomenal, except the matchup doesn't look terrific. And of course, you don't like the Dodgers getting out of LA because LA is one of the better pitcher's parks in the majors. But yeah, I think, you know, we always are going to make some concessions in that pitcher's two slot on DraftKings. And if you're coming to me and saying you can get Ivan Nova, who strikes out literal four guys per nine, for 6,400, or you can grab Waka just 500 more, I'm going to go Waka every time there.
And then the final guy I just wanted to bring up in this sort of in the between those price tiers in the 8,600 range, which I'd like to get your thoughts on, is Jess Samardzija. So Samardzija, for most of his career, has been sort of hover. Well, he started off with the Cubs, and he was sort of a K per nine guy, and then kind of changed his approach over the last couple of years with the White Sox. But then now, all of a sudden, he's jumped to 10.5 strikeouts per nine, lowered the walk rate to 1.5. This guy's been amazing, kind of. Like, his xFIP is 2.9. He is a guy, I still stare at him and think, I'm still thinking back to, like, the 7 and 7, like, kind of the hovering around 7 K per 9 guy that he's been over the last couple seasons.
He had 400 bad innings in his last two.
Right, that's a huge sample. 400 innings of striking out 7 guys per 9. And I don't know if, like, he's in a pitcher's park, so he's pitching the contact, like, moving over from the Cubs. Like, I'm not sure what the exact change in approach was that led to him just having the strikeouts reduce. But, I mean, do you see what he's doing this year in terms of K per nine as sustainable going forward? He's been great. He could be the guy, and that's not a great matchup against Washington, but pitching in San Francisco for this game is a slight favorite. The run line for them is pretty low. Do you see his numbers as... his current this season numbers is sustainable going forward?
I don't. I think that the 10 is definitely out of bounds. I could see him settling back in around the 9 Ks per 9 rate. And, you know, current projection models, most of them have him in like the 8 Ks per 9. I think that probably is just a little bit low. I would want to put it more... I would just assume for me that he would back to be like that 2010 to 2013 form. Important to remember on Samardzija, he is older than I think most people realize. Because he was such an unusual case, you know, coming out of Notre Dame is basically a wide receiver who was really famous, and then the Cubs drafted him, and everyone was pretty confused.
Right.
So he's 32 years old. He's not young by any definition. I could see him being reasonable this season, and I think, again, pitching to his strengths with the Giants there. You know, he was a sub-4 ERA guy last year, so it's not like he was terrible. But, I think Samardzija is a reasonable option going forward. It's just very similar to these other guys today, though, where why am I going to play a right-handed pitcher against the Nats? The Nats are even better than the Dodgers, and we had concerns about them. So,
You can make the case that, like, Samardzija is a much better pitcher than Waka, though. That would be the case.
Yeah, but he's 1,700 more also. Like, you know, price matters there as well, especially in the pitcher two slot, and especially if we're going to pay 13-4 for sale or something. Like, I don't know. I don't hate it by any definition, but it just... I'm just pointing out that there are flaws. This isn't the one that's like, hey, I just found a play with no question marks. It's this.
No. These guys all have question marks. Don't get me wrong. I think what you pay for, like, let's say you compare them to some of those other cheaper guys you said, what you pay a little bit more for is, if you want to believe the K rate is going to stick sort of in the same range, you pay for that. You pay for a slight money line favorite, which is more than we could say for some of the other guys we just mentioned. Like, he's minus 120 right now. And that line flipped, I think, from open. One thing to note about Samardzija this year is compared to the past, which we like to look at, like, when we see huge disparities or huge changes in what a guy has done or is doing, we like to look at, like, some pitch FX data and just see if their approach is different. His approach is very different this year, and he's completely abandoned the pitch. Like, he used to throw his cut fastball about 20% of the time. He basically hasn't thrown it at all this year. So he completely ditched that pitch and is actually, like, throwing a knuckle curve a little bit more. He's throwing a curveball a little bit more. Like, he slightly upticked all of his other offerings and just ditched this one pitch. So I'm not sure if that pitch was...
Sure. And, well, the curveball, that's an important point, because curveballs, you know, for people who aren't pitch FX nerds out there, that will increase the K rate basically at the expense of greater variance and oftentimes increasing your home run to fly ball rate and just your fly ball rate in general. So yeah, that all makes sense to me. I think also, just by the way, you mentioned that line flipping. That just could be because Bryce Harper might get suspended here. So if Harper winds up missing tonight's game, obviously it's that much better of a situation.
I was thinking about that. Those usually take a day because they usually do an appeal. Like,
they appeal, not for sure. But I wonder if there's no other real reason I can think of why the line would move so dramatically. So
no, good point. So definitely a lot of question marks to have with pitching here after Sale. I think, again, we're going to maybe be in a crisis of what to do here with this DraftKings price at 13-4, though it doesn't seem to me like there's two other mid-tier guys that you can slot in and feel better about it. Like, I'd almost just rather take the upside on him, or just take the floor on him and just sort of, I don't know, hold my nose at some of the other guys and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, actually. Like, I think that it's so close with all these various options. that, because normally we want to pay up for expensive pitchers specifically because it's hard to get similar points per dollar upside spread across the same salary. With the Coors game today, with Samardzija, who has arguably similar points, definitely similar points per dollar upside that Sale has, I don't feel the same sense of urgency to lock up so much of my salary. And if I'm going to spend $18,000 in salary, I'd just as soon have Samardzija and Waka at like whatever it is, $17,000 or $15,000 in salary, then $18,000 and go Sale and Nova. You know, that doesn't strike me as actually tapping into any more upside. So I actually think on FanDuel we'll probably wind up on Sale, but on DraftKings, I think you can make a pretty reasonable case to stay away. Again, in Sale's worst possible matchup.
All right, before we get to some stacks and hitters today, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great DFS provider. It's been around for a while now. I've been sponsoring this podcast for about a year. And what they offer that I think you won't see elsewhere is actual kind of casual contests where people who aren't, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings experts who put in 100 lineups every single night can play a fantasy sports contest without worries of sharks putting in 100 lineups in their big tournaments. One thing Fantasy Factor also does is Monday and Tuesday night $100 MLB free rolls. So you head over there, they give $100 away. You can kind of interface with their software, which is slick and works just as you'd imagine it does. And if you use promo code DFSR, they'll give you a $5 entry ticket into any of their contests as well. So fantasyfactor.com, promo code DFSR, and come check us out in the free roll tonight because Doug and I will be in there.
All right, so we have a lot of high run lines today, man. This is an interesting day. And yeah, when we didn't spend too much time talking about pitchers, I mean, for a full slate of baseball, we only talked about five or six pitchers. That means most of the other pitchers are basically completely out of contention, which means, i.e., they stink. And
yeah, a lot of good hitters.
That's what we have kind of going tonight. A lot of really high run lines. Starting off, obviously, with Coors. The Rockies, pretty much as always, whenever there's a game going here, well, one of the teams usually has the highest implied run line. Tonight, it's the Rockies facing against Ariel Miranda. They're right around six right now. It's going to be really hard to get the righties from this lineup and a guy like Salen, which is another reason you could see one of these cheaper pitchers kind of come in along the margins. Mm-hmm. But guys like Arenado, Trevor Story, if he hits higher in the lineup, I got to check on Ian Desmond. He's set. He might be hurt. LeMahieu, all up and down that lineup with righties. Mark Reynolds, all these guys are in play today, and you just need to make the decision about what you're willing to pay for them. I mean, do you think tonight it's a little easier with some of the other run lines you're seeing across the majors? Is it a little easier to get away from Coors tonight?
I think so, and especially in big tournaments. You know, normally Coors is significantly head and shoulders above the field, or there's like one other sort of candidate game you can compare it against. That's not really the case tonight. There's just a lot of good options. I wouldn't mind going up and paying for the Coors guys, especially on DraftKings, where you could theoretically, like if you get away from Sale, all of a sudden you just do have the money to spend on those guys. But yeah, on FanDuel, it's probably a little bit priced out for cash game purposes.
No, so and then you have the Mariners side of the ball. They're projected for about a run less. Yeah, they're somewhere in the five range. They were a little chalkier yesterday than I thought they would be. I think Coors still, and look, it ended up being kind of fine.
Well, you loved Tyler Anderson yesterday.
Well, Tyler Chatwood. I get those guys confused. I kept saying Tyler Anderson, but it was Tyler Chatwood. no, I did not love Tyler Chatwood yesterday. But the Mariners, sometimes it happens with these teams that come into Coors that the price just outkicks what their actual and implied totals are. And I kind of think that's the case again with the Mariners today, though. We were sort of on the wrong side of that yesterday, and I'm prepared to be on the wrong side of it again. But when you look at the Mariners compared to some of their teams we're going to talk about, it's worth noting their implied run line is just lower than at least three other teams that are going today. So just keep that in mind when you're paying completely premium dollars for a team that might not put up as many runs but I still consider them. Look, five plus runs is a decent amount, but consider how much they've taken a jump in price and, you know, kind of decide if it's worth it. Our system does not see it as worth it, but
and I actually mentioned Tyler Anderson. Tyler Anderson's been pretty good this year, you know, 9 Ks per 9, 3 walks per 9. Yeah, Coors is a tough place for anyone to pitch, and I doubt that he's like finally the one that's cracked that nut, but the Mariners, you know, a lot of their power comes from the left side of the plate. I wouldn't mind fading them at all, or maybe taking like a one-off, you know, just one of their big right-handed bats, Nelson Cruz or something.
Yeah, Cruz being the guy there. Segura at the top of the line has been pretty good. So
yeah, exactly. Like, you can take one-offs, but not that's not a stack I would be targeting necessarily.
No. So if we're going to get away from, if, you know, we're going to maybe target the Rockies a little more in that game than the Mariners, where are some other teams we can possibly pivot to that are in good spots this tonight?
Yeah, I think the Blue Jays, I mean, you know, it's always, this is a system classic of Keene. I mean, and we played the Blue Jays last night too, so it's not exactly a system classic, but one of the things that drives you absolutely insane when you set up the system for the next day is you're like, ooh, you know who looks kind of juicy? The Blue Jays tomorrow. I know they've been kind of rough this season, right, but let's put them in, and you write the whole thing up, and then you look and you're like, 17 runs tonight, huh?
So everyone's going to look like some bandwagoning.
Exactly. Look at this dope, recommending the Blue Jays after they score 17 runs. But in all seriousness, I actually do think, you know, normally I would want to ignore a one-game sample. With the Blue Jays, though, and all the question marks around their hitting this season, it's actually kind of nice to see Donaldson healthy, to see Russell Martin still providing some power. I think they're, and Tulowitzki, same story. Like, you know, they moved him down in the lineup. Him responding with a home run is excellent to see as well. I think the Blue Jays are in another pretty good spot tonight. You know, the Reds are pitching someone called Asher, is his name?
Yep.
His last name is Woj C. Chowski.
Just call him Woj. Yeah.
All his friends call him Woj for sure.
Woj Kakowski.
He's not a real guy. Like, he's just someone who came up through the minors in classic dumb team fashion. They were like, you know who had a good 20 innings this year? Woj. We're going to bring him up to the majors now and see what he's got. He just doesn't have.
Why don't you think the Reds have anybody else? I think that's their biggest problem. Is that, like, I don't necessarily get the idea that they want to promote these guys, but they just don't have anyone else to promote. Like, their pitching staff is. I mean, they're pitching Bronson Royal every 5 days. I mean, like, they don't have other. Yeah, it's not like they have like these flamethrowers in the minors that they can just promote. They are just, it's a cavalcade of losers on that pitching staff. And well, the Blue Jays are one of these cases too, where they do the exact thing. Well, you don't want to do it, but the exact thing that you kind of want to do as a team, where they've replaced like Ryan Guns and I don't even know who was playing third base for them, with Donaldson and Tulowitzki, right? Like, so you basically go from below replacement level guys to just above replacement level guys, and that's the exact switch you want to make. And now all of a sudden that lineup is really deep. So I like the Blue Jays a lot, and they're not priced in the same kind of area. Like, Donaldson at 3,600. That's a complete bargain for him if he's batting second in that lineup. So
yeah, it's a joke. Okay.
Him, Pilar, really the whole entire lineup can probably be considered in this matchup in Toronto, Good Hitters Park. Where else after the Blue Jays? You know, Blue Jays, Rockies, any other teams that are kind of sticking out to you here?
Well, after them, kind of every team sticks out to me. Like, when you just go down the guys pitching tonight, you can get value in so many different directions. Like, I mean, so I wouldn't, like, we talked about Nova. He's been generating some ground balls. The Diamondbacks don't have a great total, but if you just want like an offbeat thing, since Nova doesn't strike anybody out, there's at least some potential for upside there. I wouldn't go too deep on that one though, because there's just actually like 10, 8 games tonight that have 9 totals or higher. So either side of the Phillies Marlins game, either side of the Milwaukee New York game. I actually kind of like the Milwaukee side there specifically because someone named Tyler Pill is pitching for my beloved New York Mets tonight. Tyler Pill, I'm sure he's a fine guy, charitable, etc., but just hasn't had 0.0 success in his very brief tenure in the majors. And just as a little frame of reference, in the 46 innings in the minors this season, he went ahead, oh, I'm sorry, more than that. So 46 innings in AAA, he had 4.5 Ks per nine and 2.8 walks per nine. Oof. In AA, it was a little worse, where he only had 2.6 Ks per nine. So
if you're not striking minor league batters out, you are not good. There's really no other way around it. Like, you,
this could be one of those situations. It's just like simply awkward, where, you know, the Brewers go out and like have the helmets on backwards and bat from the wrong side of the plate. And like, I could see the Brewers. I mean, and thankfully for him, like, the Brewers aren't the best hitting team in the majors. But if you just want, like, the biggest potential blow-up game to me is that one, where Tyler Pill makes it, like, two-thirds of an inning. The manager apologizes to putting him in that position, and they pay against the bullpen the rest of the time.
No, so, the only thing the Brewers here, no Braun. Obviously, he's hurt right now. They have moved Broxton up in the lineup a little bit. So there is – these guys, they're susceptible to the Ks in general, but not – when you have a team that has high K rates – and their prices are sort of kept down because they just kind of K more than league average. Guys like Broxton K's a ton. Even Thames K's a decent amount in limited sample. Domingo Santana K's a ton. But when you put them in a matchup where the guy, where you completely, you basically take that expectation off the table, then all of a sudden this is a team that, like you said, has really high upside, because that's like their one Achilles heel is they just strike out too much. And so even with no Braun, I really like that. And you know, it's a bad pitching day when it took us like 5 teams to get to the team that's facing Nick Martinez. So we didn't even, like, not to say we could have listed these guys kind of pretty high up, but the Rays today against Nick Martinez, you know, you said it, I think, off air, we're contractually obligated to just mention the team playing against Martinez whenever that he takes them out. He just continues to be in that Bronson Arroyo sort of like Weaver I mean, old James Shields when he was really kind of just total garbage, or some of the other guys we mentioned, class of, like, Dylan Covey is another one. Like, what are you doing in the majors kind of guy? Like, and how do you keep showing up? How do you keep showing up here?
Right.
I can see the Rays being a pretty popular team to stack today. They'll move the...
Really? I mean, the Rays stink. Like, can we talk about that first? Well, the Rays are a bad hitting offense. Why do you think they'll be a popular stack?
Well, I think they'll be a decently popular stack. One, it's Martinez on the mound. Two, this is about as high a run line as you ever see them get. The prices on them are cheap. So when you get... So it's kind of a difference of they've stunk. Who's wrong here? The Vegas, or like sort of what they've been doing over the season, or does the matchup trump what they've been doing up until this point? So if they've stunk, is Nick Martinez just the kind of guy that you unstink against, if that makes sense? So I like
no, that's a good summary. And I think I'll also throw in there that you don't have to play all the Rays, right? And so if you take a team like the Rays who have been very bad against right-handed pitching, they still have some guys who are not terrible against right-handed pitching, right? Because you just can't have nine guys on a whole team that are bad. And so typically teams are generally, especially in the American League where you have to have nine offensive players out there, oftentimes the bottom three or four guys in the lineup are significantly worse than the top guys. So actually, I think you're exactly right that the Rays, they're going to be super cheap. And when Vegas is spotting that inefficiency, right? You know, Vegas' run total as it pertains to the FanDuel prices, I'm going to trust Vegas there. So I think that's a great assessment.
Yeah, Dickerson's the one guy over 4,000. He's been great this year. He's had 1,000 OPS plus going into this game. But even guys like Kiermaier, Longoria struggled for sure. Morris in the top of that lineup, I'm totally fine with. I don't know if you see Colby Rasmus maybe move up the lineup a little bit. He's coming cheap as well.
Oh, that's an interesting but one. Well, especially getting them out of Tampa Bay is significant too. You know, underrated pitchers.
Right, but this is the situation we're looking for. Bad pitcher, good park, team struggling. Not a good team by any means, but right, when that Vegas total is showing you something, it's kind of becomes one of those who do we want to trust situations. When it's Nick Martinez on the mound, I think I'm fine trusting. I'm erring on the side of runs being scored more than anything else.
Yeah,
anything else before we get going here, or do we kind of sum it up?
No, I think we summed it up. I mean, I think tonight's interesting for big tournaments, especially because one thing you can do tonight that you oftentimes can't do is you can actually get separation. You might be able to get separation by stacking the Brewers, which is completely insane. You might be able to get separation by even stacking the Rays against Nick Martinez. You know, like you can take beyond the obvious Dickerson, you can kind of cluster the guys around there. I think there's a lot of room for some artistry for your big tournaments. Bartolo Colon's pitching tonight. You know, there's just a lot going on here. So, it's kind of it's a great night to be alive, Doug, and I'm excited to get in a bunch of GPP lines.
The optimism overflows. All right, we're from DFSR.com, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll grab you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That'll give you optimal MLB lineups for DraftKings and FanDuel. If you need any idea of how our system has been doing this year, just head over to our chat room, ask some of our really dedicated users who are in there who are brutally honest, and they're honest on both ends of the spectrum when it's good or bad. They will give you their honest assessment of baseball, and that assessment has been extremely positive. So head over.
Don't ask me. I'll tell you lies. I'll just say we've won every single
time. Everyone just thinks we're lying. It doesn't matter what we say. All right. DFSR.com/MLB. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, enjoy your baseball tonight. I'll talk to you later in the week.
Yeah, buddy. Peace.